Well, good morning, Ozark. We are so glad that you could join us today for this very special chapel service. As we officially prepare to move in to the Christmas season, we first start with the season of Advent, which is a season in which we anticipate the coming of Christ. We prepare our hearts, we prepare our minds, we prepare our families and our communities for what God has done for us and the fact that we have the promise of his coming. So, similar to what we did last year, we want to dedicate this final chapel to just spending a time celebrating Advent, understanding what it is and the reason why we celebrate the coming of the Messiah. And to start today, we wanted to briefly go over what Advent is as a whole, as well as what our focus will be during this chapel service. So, Advent is the anticipation of the coming of the Messiah, which starts 4 weeks before Christmas. And each of these weeks is represented by a different candle on this Advent wreath. And as you go throughout the weeks, you would light a new one. So for the first week, you would light the first candle. The first candle represents the hope that we have in the coming of Jesus. The second candle reminds us that we can have peace because Christ is coming back. This third candle reminds us to have joy because of this. And the final candle of this outer rim reminds us that God loves us. And because of his great love, he sent his son to come, be born of a virgin, and eventually, far away, be crucified on a cross for our sins and bring eternal life. And so, as we move into this service, while there are four elements, we decided that we wanted to spend this chapel focusing on peace. And while technically peace does not start till next week, we did feel like it was appropriate, whether that's because of unrest that you have from being a college freshman, having no idea what you're doing at college, from moving into the dorms to making friends to completing assignments or procrastinating assignments, because we're all college students, we do it. Or whether that's now, as all of us are preparing to go into finals. No matter what that is, no matter what unrest you have, we wanted to spend this chapel just dedicating it to peace, to give you a time in which you can lay it all down. You can thank God for what he's done. You can thank him for coming. We're going to go through several different prayer elements and moments of silence in which you can just spend in God's presence. So I want to invite you throughout this time to not worry about the things around you, not worry about the finals that you have next week, not worry about the assignments that you have, but just spend this time in the presence of God with a community of brothers and sisters who all want to serve him. So to continue in our service, I want to read Isaiah 9:1-7 over you. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress in the past. He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for the hope that we can have in you, for the joy, for the love that we can have. But most importantly, I thank you that you have given us peace, that we can take everything that we have and lay it at your feet because we know that you're sending your son to save us. God, I pray that we will be able to spend this time in your presence, not focusing on anything else, but to just give all the glory and all the praise and all the honor to the Prince of Peace, the one who is worthy of our praise. It's your name I pray.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Truer words may have never been spoken than those by the tearful Dorothy Gale at the end of The Wizard of Oz when she grasped her little dog Toto, tapped the heels of her ruby red slippers together three times, and was whisked back to Kansas. You know the story. A young adolescent Dorothy, played by the famous actress Judy Garland, feels cast aside and misunderstood by her family and all of the adults around her. We've all been there. But she is particularly galled by her neighbor, Miss Gulch, who wants to euthanize her little Cairn Terrier Toto because it bit her on the leg. I would want to bite her on the leg, too. And we see that in her frustration and in her despair, Dorothy snatches Toto up and she runs away from home. And in a scene that every dog lover understands, she begins to pour out her heart to Toto. And she says, "I want to go someplace where there isn't any trouble. It's not a place that you can get to by a boat or a train. It's far, far away. Beyond the moon. Beyond the rain, it's a place where trouble melts like lemon drops up above the chimney tops. It's somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby." And we understand in that moment that what Dorothy longs for is a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance, a sense of peace. She wants that sense of home. As beloved as that film is, I have to confess to you that when I first encountered it, the sliver of a historical realist in me waged war against the narrative romanticist in me, and I was left with significant and competing questions. Like, what in the world is going on in America when the angst of a prepubescent fictional adolescent girl in 1939 seems to be a very big deal when in reality the deadliest war in human history has just begun? How is it that we can get lost in a farm family from Kansas when 50 to 80 million people are about to die? Hitler has invaded Czechoslovakia. He was on his way to invade Poland and France and Norway and Denmark and the Netherlands, and on it goes. And in its isolationism, America finds itself sitting in front of a theater screen, enamored of this fictional girl in Kansas. So long as it's not our sons and daughters dying, give me flying monkeys and an emerald city any day. When I think about those days long past, fantasy and reality struggle to align somewhere in my mind. But in the end, it is not the realist or the romanticist that wins out in me. It is the preacher, the husband, the father, the man, the human. For I begin to understand that no one really wanted to engage in that war. No soldiers in Europe, except for the Nazis, were just longing to take the blood of others. And no parent in the United States wanted their sons and daughters to go off and die. And everybody knew the inevitable. Everybody knew it was better to have peace and to just be at home. Oh, the humanity in me realizes that I have seen the darkness and the suffering that this world has to offer, and I have felt deeply the separation from those that I love. Every one of us who has felt the bite of human frailty understands very well the longing for peace and the longing for home that Dorothy expresses in that old movie. Sadly, The world, in its rejection of God and in its ignorance of God, tries to fill that longing for a home with Oz-like fantasies. They don't want the world to pull back the curtain and to discover that its narratives are as fake as the Green Wizard of Oz. But we who are gathered here today, we who call ourselves the people and the church of God, we understand the longing for our true home. We understand that it is the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of us, that draws us to that eternal peace, to that eternal place where we will be with God's person and in God's presence for all time. It is the Holy Spirit of God within us that guarantees for us a seat at the banqueting table of our God. And we know that in our Father's home are many rooms, and our Savior Jesus Christ has gone there to prepare a home for us. I have that longing for my eternal home. It is a longing for eternal peace, a place and an existence where there isn't any trouble, a place that you cannot get to by a boat or a plane. It is a place beyond the moon and beyond the rain, a place where trouble melts like lemon drops up above the chimney tops. It's somewhere over the rainbow. It's way up high. But you know, we don't have to be confronted with the wickedness of this world and the grim realities of war to long for a home. In fact, if that was the only thing that caused us to long for home, I think we would be remiss. We would be impeaching the fact that our God, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed us and he has redeemed all creation, and that there is goodness and beauty and wonder that is still alive that should cause us to long for home. Last week, I got to spend time with the four most important people in my life, my wife and my three grown children. Every single one of them loves the Lord our God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I love to hear the name of Jesus on their lips. And when I am with them and I hear the glory of our God come out of their hearts and their mouths and their minds, it makes me long for home. Last Sunday, I got to stand with my married daughter, and we watched the tranquility of a giant panda in the San Diego Zoo lazily stretch his arms and legs and munch on bamboo shoots. And as I watched him, I realized in that moment that I had a longing for home. I want to go to a place where the lion lays down with the lamb. And when I stand here this morning, in the congregation of God's people, where we sing praises to the King of Kings, I want you to know that I long for the day when the Lord will restore my weakened voice. I long for the day when I will be able to add to the harmony of heaven, and I will hear my voice mingle with the upraised voices of myriads and myriads of angels and thousands upon thousands of God's holy ones. I can almost hear now the heavenly sopranos lead out in crystal clear melody, joined by the thundering bass of the angelic hosts. I can't wait for that first antiphonal liturgy at the resurrection, when the sound of the worship of God will shake the new creation to its foundations. I long for home. And when I read the word words of an aged apostle Peter. I do not see the trembling hand of an old man. I do not see any fear of a man who knows that he is about to lay aside his earthly body and take his inheritance. What I hear is the strength and the glory and the beauty of a voice that says, brothers and sisters, in keeping with the glorious promise of God, let us wait for, let us look forward to, let us long for a new heaven and a new earth. Let us long for our home of righteousness. I say to you this morning, we don't tap together the heels of our ruby red slippers, but we can confess the crimson stained cross of Christ, and we can say with confidence, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There is no place like home.
Many of us returned this week to our classes and to our jobs full of rest and revitalized and ready for this last couple of weeks because we just spent time in places and with people who brought us peace. And we're thankful for that. We are thankful that we belong to families and that we have friends who bring us joy and love and hope and peace. And to be perfectly honest, we can't wait for finals to be over because we can't wait to get back to those places and those people. But we recognize that that's not everybody's story. That for some of you, maybe even many of you, the places where you were and the people that you were with brought you anything but peace. Maybe you were in situations of chaos or situations that brought you fear or worry or anxiety. And honestly, this next month that you're gonna be back in those same places and with those same people, it's just going to be one long, anxious countdown until you can get back to this place because this has become your home. This is the place that brings you peace. These are the people that bring you joy. And if that's the case, we're still thankful because we have this place, because we have this home. But we recognize and we want to acknowledge the fact that you're walking into some things that are going to be a little bit difficult. And for some of you, you're walking into things you don't even know about yet. And so we want to take time to speak life and truth and peace over you today. In our home, around our breakfast table every morning, we eat together and then we read a psalm. And we have read through the book of Psalms many times, and every time we go through it, when we come to Psalm 91, it's kind of one of our favorites. We smile and we laugh. And that might seem weird because this is a psalm of David where he talks about a lot of things that bring him fear and worry. He talks about the fear of darkness. He talks about the fear of enemies. But the reason why we smile is because of verse 6. Anytime anyone in our family has anything that they're worried about or that they're anxious about that they share with us, inevitably one of us will come into the room and we will say, "Fear not the pestilence that stalks in the darkness." Partly because we are actually the nerds that you think we are. It's true. And partly because it's like, what is pestilence? We don't know. But that's the point. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness can be anything. It's whatever is bringing you worry. It's whatever you're fearful of. It is whatever is taking away your peace. And so I want to say to you, fear not the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Because also in Psalm 91, this is what David says in the first two verses. He says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And so right now we want to take some time to just pray together. And in a moment, I'm going to invite you to circle up in groups of three or four. And I want to invite you to be vulnerable with one another. If you are someone who is about to walk back into a season, even a short season, where you're walking into a place where there is no peace, would you share that with the people in your circle so that they can speak life to you, so that they can pray God's peace over you? We're also going to have some prayer prompts on the screens in front of you, some scripture that you can read over one another. We'll have a few prompts to begin, and then a couple minutes later, a few more. And we just want to invite you to take time in this moment to invite the truth that we've been talking about today, the fact that Jesus's presence really is enough to bring us peace. So let's take a few moments to pray together in community, and then I will close this portion of our service in prayer. Let's pray. You can go ahead and take your seats in the next couple of seconds. Another thing that we do in our home around our breakfast table before we all part ways and head out for our days is Michael prays the priestly blessing over us. And this is something that he has been doing for years every single day. And it is a blessing to all of us. And so right now I would love to just pray that over you from our home to yours, from your Ozark home to yours. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." While we wait for Jesus, we have been given the gift of peace. We're now going to enter into a moment of silence to simply just reflect on that and rest in that. So take whatever posture you feel led to take.
Our service this morning with Isaiah chapter 9. So if I could read that over us once more. "But there will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in later time he made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. You have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle to mold, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Mighty Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, for this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." We are in the midst of a season of anticipation. Oftentimes, waiting can be met with angst, anxiety, or worry, or sometimes simply impatience. But peace can come through the waiting. Even in the midst of the darkest times, we can have peace. So if you would, continue to lift your voices as we continue to sing.
So, to finish out our service like we started it, is over at the Advent wreath. And if you notice, there are four candles on the outside, but there's one candle on the center. The four candles on the outside are meant to represent the Advent season. And over the course of time, as these candles burn down, it slowly will reveal this center candle. And this one is lit on Christmas Eve to mark the coming of Christ. To say that we are done with waiting, that we are officially stepping in to Christmas season. We are officially saying, welcome, Jesus Christ. Thank you. And so, to conclude, I want to light this candle with us and then pray a prayer over us as we dismiss for today. Father, as we light this fifth candle, the Christ candle, we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and the light of the world. As his light shines in our hearts on this campus, and our homes and around the world. May we remember the true meaning of Christmas and in turn share that same light wherever we go. Thank you for the hope, the joy, the love, and the peace that you provide us in this Advent season and that you brought into our lives. We welcome the birth of Jesus with open hearts and gratitude, and we look forward to that day when he will come again. We pray this all in your holy and precious name. Amen.